This is your friend John Walden from Colorado Springs. We've come now to the closing section of the first chapter of Colossians, and perhaps we'll have time to get into the first few verses of chapter 2. In verse 23, at the close of the verse we read, "The gospel which ye have heard, which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister." Now, this is not an official title, but it means a servant. As a servant of God, Paul was a minister of the gospel. He had the responsibility to preach the gospel wherever he went. He says that he received this gospel not of man, or from man, or through man, but he got it from God himself, and that he had a responsibility to preach this gospel, because he said there was a burden laid upon him, a dispensation of the gospel given to him. He had a responsibility to preach this everywhere. He said in the first chapter of Romans that it was a debt which he owed to the whole world. Now, no less is this true of us who are Christians. If you've never accepted the gospel, you're not a child of God. So you have no responsibility to others in regards to the gospel, but a responsibility to God to accept the gospel for yourself. If you are a Christian, if you have received the Lord Jesus, regardless of whether you're in the ministry, as they say, or not, you are a minister or a servant of the Lord Jesus in the gospel. And you and I have a responsibility to teach this gospel to others. The Apostle Paul did this. And he said that he now rejoiced in his sufferings for them, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh. So the Apostle Paul preached the gospel even at great cost to himself, finally laid down his life for the sake of the preaching of the gospel. Now, he said he was doing this for his body's sake, which is the church. The church, which is the body of Christ, simply means that all believers from the day of Pentecost until the Lord returns, all who are saved in this present dispensation, are members of the body, the mystical body of Christ. This has nothing to do with his physical body now, in which he suffered and died for us, but it means now that he is risen and is in heaven, he bears the same relationship to us that the head does to the physical body. And Christ is our head, and he is in heaven. We saw back in verse 18 that he is the head of the church. So now we see that the body of the church is composed of those who are true believers, and he says, "Whereof I am made a minister." So he had a dual ministry. He had a ministry to preach the gospel, and he had a ministry to the church, to serve the church, and to preach the truths concerning the church. Now, we have not preached the whole Word of God unless we are clear on what we call church truths, the truths that have to do with the body of Christ. It's not enough for you to have an interest in the gospel, to be evangelistically and evangelically minded, but you must also have a mind for the care of the flock of God. Once you lead people to Christ, you must teach them the truths concerning the body of Christ, their fellowship and responsibility to each other, and the place that we occupy in relation to the head which is in heaven at the present time. So the Apostle Paul was a minister of the church as well as of the gospel. And this was according to the dispensation of God, and this word is literally the stewardship of God. God had given him a stewardship. He had made him responsible for the truths that he had given to him, to fulfill or to complete the Word of God. So the revelation that God gave to the Apostle Paul concerning the church, the body of Christ, and Christ indwelling the church by the presence of the Holy Spirit here on earth now, this completed the truths, the teaching of the Word of God. And this he calls in verse 26 the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations. Now there are 12 mysteries in the Word of God, and one of the important ones, probably the most important of all of them from the standpoint of God's regard, would be the mystery of the church. He wants us to understand the mystery which has been hid from ages and from generations, but is now made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ indwelling his people by faith, this is our hope of glory. We're not going to heaven because we've been good. We're not going to heaven because we're worthy. But our hope of glory is based upon the fact that Christ is in us. Now, this is not only true individually, but it's true of us collectively. When we meet together in the simplicity of the New Testament pattern, we're meeting together in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what we do by his authority, and we can expect his blessing because of his presence among us. So Christ among you, in you, or among you, the marginal reading says, is the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom. Now here we have a dual ministry again. First of all, you have a warning. This is to take away the things which are not right. And then you have a teaching. This is to add the truths that are right. So all of the ministry of the Apostle Paul, you'll find to have this dual character. He corrects the things which are not right. When we get into the next chapter, you'll see that he spends quite a little time correcting certain things which are wrong, false doctrines, false teachings. We're not to believe everything that's told to us. We're to test it by the Word of God. And this removes the things which are wrong, warning every man, and then he adds the truths that we need to know in teaching every man in all wisdom. Here again we have this all wisdom. We'll see this when we get a little further down. The Gnostics said, we'll give you super knowledge if you'll come to us. But the Holy Spirit said through the Apostle Paul, the super knowledge is found in him, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. And this, of course, is at the coming day, the judgment seat of Christ, when every man will be presented complete or mature in the Lord Jesus Christ. Whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working. Now these words, labor and striving, are words that were used in connection with the arena, when they faced the wild animals and when they fought these battles. And so he's using these strong words to show that he is a person who agonizes in his striving for these people. This word striving is the word from which we get our word agonized, agonizo. And in so doing, we are doing it according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. Now the word working and worketh come from a word which is used only in the New Testament of God's energy. So the Apostle Paul's energy would have been worthless without the energy of the Holy Spirit of God working in and through it. For he says, I would that you know what great conflict I have for you, and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh. He was definitely concerned about these people, though he had never preached among them. He really cared. He had a fear or a concern that they might not go on well for God. And this fear was well-grounded, too, because later on the Laodicean church turned so far away from the Lord that they were of no use to him, and he threatened to spew them out of their mouth. You have this in the third epistle, or the third chapter of the book of the Revelation. Now notice that Paul loved all the people of God, just as he said about these Colossians in writing to them in the early part of chapter 1. Their love to all the saints. So he had a love to all the people of God, whether or not he had led them to Christ. He was interested in their going on for Christ. Now, they were the subjects of his prayers, but he did something more than pray for them. He was concerned about teaching them. And he said in verse 2 that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding. Notice this. This is the fullness of understanding. The word pleroma in the Greek language was a very favored word of the Gnostics, this false heresy that was troubling the early Christians. And they talked about the fullness. And they taught this fullness could be known only through the angels and emanations and so on. But God takes this word and says, now I want you to know the fullness of assurance, of understanding, to the acknowledgement, or to the full acknowledgement. Well, that's the word, really. The fullness and the full acknowledgement, full knowledge, really, of the mystery. This is the same mystery that we read about a little farther out in chapter 1. So when you and I accept the full revelation of the Word of God, we will have full assurance of understanding, and we will have full knowledge of the mystery of God and of the Father, even of Christ. The word "and" is the word "chi," which is translated "even" in many cases. And we have the mystery of God and of the Father, even the mystery of Christ. That's the mystery that we've had back in verse 1 and or chapter 1 and verses 26 and 27. The mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now in him, we're told in verse 3, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Don't be foolish enough to look for these treasures anywhere else except in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're trying to try to find the treasures of wisdom and knowledge in the university, or in the wisdom and books of men, or in your own reasonings of your own mind, you're going to miss it every time. But in the Lord Jesus Christ are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And he tells us this so that we would not be beguiled with enticing words, so that we would not be led away from the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know him? Have you trusted him as your Savior? Have you been born into the family of God by accepting the Lord Jesus Christ by faith in his word? Do you know what it is to be reconciled to God? Then let me urge you that you turn to his word. Spend time in the word. Study it in order that you might be kept from these false doctrines that will mislead you. Our Father, we pray for those who are not yet saved, that they might trust our Savior, and for those who have believed in him, that they might go on well for him, for his name's sake. Amen.